Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Paramount Plus is only 2 days old, and there's at least one new live-action series in its fold that's not a reboot, redesign, or inspired by past content. That program is, for heaven's sake, a true crime tale at times, a true crime satire at others. The duo involved, co-stars, creators, and executive producers Mike Nolan and Jackson Rowe, join me next in an internet radio exclusive. 5 kids out to transform the world around them get their chance through Operation Awesome, coming to BYU TV next Wednesday. Executive producer Will Nothaker travels our way next half hour. Also ahead, FX's Final Pose, more deer at Apple TV Plus, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, and presented on Verbal, iHeartRadio, and the Amazon Music Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio education and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want, and get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 37 degrees at the top of the hour on this March 5th of 2021. Movie theaters are back and booming here in the New York metro area, and we welcome you to the program all about TV's current and future. We got a great day in store for you and a wonderful hour with guests ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and call in 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe. Here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. And we'd also like to get your participation going through our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Our guest from Paramount Plus's new series, For Heaven's Sake, will join us live from Toronto after these news notes. Pose, the award-winning scripted depiction of New York City's underground ball scene, is set to present its third and final season on FX. 7 episodes will unfold starting May 2nd and wrapping June 6th. Quote, "We got to tell the exact story we wanted as we wanted to tell it, and I'm incredibly honored and grateful," unquote. Co-creator executive producer Ryan Murphy declared that in a statement released this morning. The series became famous for its large cast and production team representing the gay, lesbian, and transgender communities. Once again, Pose will have its third and final season on FX starting May 2nd. Unscripted biography series Dear... will be back for a second Apple TV Plus season. The next 10 episodes will include profiles of Viola Davis, Selena Gomez, Sandra Oh, and Emmy-winning Pose star Billy Porter. Now some quickies. Discovery Plus will premiere a 2-hour special on Wisconsin-based murderer Ed Gein April 9th. Popular children's book The Runaway Bunny becomes an HBO Max animated special March 25th. Food Network launches Chef Boot Camp April 8th. Cliff Crooks will operate the camp. And Peacock is now playing the Law and Crime Network over its service. A&E Networks is an investor in Law and Crime, organized by former Live PD host Dan Abrams. Incidentally, we did an interview last year with one of the key people at Law & Crime Network. You can hear that interview at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And that is news notes for today. Here we are, day 2 of Paramount Plus, formerly CBS All Access. And among the things you can find there immediately is a brand new live-action series that is part true crime tale and true crime satire. It's called For Heaven's Sake. Joining us live in Internet Radio Exclusive from Toronto, Canada, are the co-stars, creators, and executive producers of the series, Mike Milden and Jackson Rowe. Mike and Jackson, welcome in.
Thanks for having us, Simon. Thank you.
It is a pleasure. Mike, we'll start with you. What's been the early reaction 2 days into your series?
So far, so good. I think I was most nervous about the whole family seeing it, but everyone seems to love it, and they really are intrigued by the mystery. So... Great all around. Great first reaction.
Yeah, Jackson, did both of you expect that your series was going to be picked up and be an early attraction on Paramount Plus?
We were surprised with, you know, how much Paramount Plus loved it and supported us throughout the whole process. They were totally a great team to work with. And, you know, as soon as they started to see what the series was, they were totally behind it from day one. So we couldn't have asked for a better partner.
So, Mike, how did you and Jackson, first of all, come up with this mix of true crime tale and true crime humor?
Well, the idea definitely had a lot of evolution and growth, but it all started with the police reports. Jackson and I just love true crime. Like, we binge podcasts and all the series online, so on all the streamers. And so when we had the police reports, we started seeing the same holes we saw on these shows and on these podcasts. And there was just some investigation, the lack of investigation is the word, I guess. And so we started to talk about actually moving into, like, trying to do a true crime with these police reports and all the kind of history my family had. It took a lot more research after that to, like, talk to family members and see if there was actually a compelling mystery. But the more we talked to people from the town and from my family, the more the story grew, and we thought we had something pretty great.
Mm-hmm. And Jackson, how did the story develop? How did both of you first learn about this crime? And what made you decide we want to do more than just be your typical true crime series or your typical true crime special? We want this to be a little different and a little surreal.
Yeah, well, that's just who we are, Mike and myself. You know, we're comedians by trade, and we also love to sort of bend the genre of anything we work on. So it just seemed like if we were going to tackle a true crime, we had to do it our way. And we came in with that attitude. And as it developed, you know, you can only situations when you're dealing with tragedy and the humanity involving a missing person. Our goal was never to push the limits. It was just to add a little levity in points where, you know, this genre never really has. It's such a straight and narrow, to the point, facts only genre that, there was definitely, we knew there was going to be some wiggle room, and it was an interesting way to keep people intrigued in coming along on this journey with us. If they enjoyed hanging out with us as your hosts, we knew we might be onto something.
Mm-hmm. Mike, for those who are not familiar with either the series or the case, what is the case? Explain what the case is all about.
So the case revolves around Harold Heaven. So he was my great-great uncle. And basically, in 1934, he disappeared. He vanished from his cabin. And the way the cabin was left just raises so many questions. Like, the door was ajar with the key still in the lock. The oil lamp had burnt out. His rifle was missing. And the only other thing missing was the clothes on his back and his fedora. So just the idea that the police – so the police ended up doing an investigation, but they closed it as a likely suicide. Well, in the series, but – it's just one of the biggest red flags is they never found a body. And we talked to a lot of law enforcement, and they said in 40 years of homicide cases, they've never had a suicide without a body, where a body doesn't turn up. So we just really went with that. There's so many more contributing factors to what makes this case so interesting.
The case we're talking about is something you can see right now in For Heaven's Sake. It's one of the first live-action original series you can find on Paramount Plus, formerly CBS All Access, available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And we've got the people behind the series. They are the co-stars, the creators and executive producers, Mike Milden and Jackson Rowe. The journey is live from Toronto, Canada, this half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Alpert, I'm with you live from down south from where they are in Nueva York, where it's 37 degrees at the top of the hour. In case you haven't heard, today, for the first day in over a year, movie theaters in New York City are now open, limited capacity. People have to come in wearing masks and social distance, but it's great to see movies back in business here in the Big Apple. You have a question or comment for our guests? Don't be shy. Pick up the phone and go in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have the co-founder and chief communications officer of Books, the very unusual storytelling service available also on smart TV sets and devices. Shannon Bex will be with us, and it should be a lot of fun talking to her. Plus, next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have the managing director of Magellan TV, the popular documentary service also available on smart TV sets and devices, Greg Diefenbach. It's all coming up next week, Monday and Friday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jackson, once you got the go-ahead to do the series, how did you frame the episodes? Was it a case of you knew going in how you and Mike were going to establish each episode, or did you decide to let's film or let's tape, let's get all the witnesses together and so forth, and then we'll figure out how we arrange the series?
Our original idea was to highlight the theories we knew, sort of one per episode. So to start off, you know, highlight the facts of the case, establish, like Mike said, that we didn't agree with how the police closed the case, and then from then on, sort of each episode would be addressing a different theory. And that was our plan originally, but once we started to actually make progress in the case, some of the leads start to blend together, and in you know, normal true crime fashion, things take left and right turns that we didn't expect. So the plan kind of went out the window after a couple episodes, but that's actually all for the better because it makes for a much more compelling show that way.
Mike, given the fact that you and your colleague are both comedians as opposed to detectives, how easy or hard was it to get access to the subjects? And once you identified yourselves with them, how easy or hard was it for them to draw out what they knew about the case?
It's such an interesting beast because we're dealing with an 87-year-old mystery. So we're already starting, people only know little tidbits of the story, or people only know hearsay or secondhand stories from their father or grandfather. So our biggest asset was just getting people talking. And the comfortability thing was we just immersed ourselves in this small town. We had like local mystery nights. We went to the bingo nights, and we just tried to get to know everybody so they would just feel comfortable talking with us. We already were fortunate enough to have that access with my family because we were doing the interviews and they already had a certain level of comfort with myself. So just a matter of really immersing ourselves in the small town and getting to know everybody. And everybody was so warm and nice to us. And also it was wintertime, and wintertime in Minden, Ontario, where the series is based, is not much is happening. So when a documentary crew comes into town, everybody's ears perk up and they're like, all right, well, what's going on here?
Jackson, was it very interesting to compare what people had to say based on what they heard from their parents or grandparents about the case?
Yeah, it was. We learned going in that a huge part of cold case investigating is just talking to people and hoping somebody comes forward who didn't. So that was our main plan of attack, was spread the word, talk to people. You know, no lead was too small, no story was too bizarre. We kind of just wanted to hear everyone and hear what they had to say. And once you, you know, start to hear the same thing a few times, then you realize it might have some weight to it. But that was really one of our big tactics, was just getting people talking. And, you know, we set up a hotline. We had a billboard in town, an email address, all this stuff where people could just spill their guts to us if they were feeling generous. And a lot of them did. It was great.
Yeah. Mike, as both of you are comedians, how do you sense where to bring the humor out of your subjects, especially when, as Jackson just said, they're spilling their guts out, but whatever guts they have dealing with this situation?
Yeah, it was a tightrope to walk, I think. Us personally, we weren't trying in the series to be super funny. We wanted, and it's a small town and full of character in itself, so these people, they didn't have to try to be funny. They were just naturally charming and naturally came across on screen. So we just let them be themselves. As far as Jackson and I, we can't help but like riff back and forth and make fun of each other, but never at the expense of the case and the people involved in the case. So when people did start talking about something, let's say they were one generation separated, it was a completely serious conversation, and it was only to move the case forward. Like, that was Jackson and I's main objective, was just to figure out what happened. So if humor came with that in the interviews, we found that in the edit, we could have fun with that. But most of the time it was figuring the next steps of this investigation.
Jackson, describe the people that both of you talked with. It sort of sounds a little bit like they come out of Northern Exposure, or they come out of very quirky circumstances, or from an area that is sort of off the beaten center of things compared to other places, big and small.
Yeah, absolutely. Minden, Ontario is a small town, but it's got a lot of heart. It's got a lot of character and a lot of history. What we learned, you know, because the case is so old, we had to you know, do our due diligence in understanding, you know, the path that the town has walked itself. And that comes with, you know, characters. We had a great local historian who knew the place upside down. He was a real joy to talk to. Mike's family is full of characters and people that, you know, can, you know, give him a little bit of guff if he's not acting right. It's and the city is just, you know, it's tight-knit, and they talk, and they sort of, you know, small towns might get a bad rap for being, you know, stuck in their ways, a little closed-minded, but that's definitely not the case in Minden. Everyone was open and willing and opened up, welcomed us with open arms.
Yeah. Mike, did I read you right when you said earlier that the police investigating this case, that there was never a body found? Is there a psychic phenomena aspect to this, like a one step beyond kind of situation?
Oh, so did you say psychic?
Yeah.
Okay. We actually spoke of the psychic, but it didn't make the cut. We had that whole aspect where we started to consider the supernatural and kind of the extraterrestrial aspects of the case, and we added our sense of humor to that aspect. But we also, same thing with the real investigation. We took it seriously. We wanted to hear if there was people that believed that kind of stuff and why they did and what their theory was when it came to Harold's, because there was a whole alien theory that got cut short in one of the episodes, still in there. But we spoke with a psychic, and it just, for us personally, we had so much momentum at that point in actual investigation that, and in the show, you'll see things are kind of moving. So we didn't want to lose the audience's trust as far as deterring away and trying to like have too much fun in that area when most of the audience will be like, wait, what about that one lead that you guys just got? Why aren't you following that? So we had to kind of figure out the true crime engine in the edit, especially.
You're hearing Mike Mildon and Jackson Rowe. They are the co-stars, the creators, and the executive producers of one of the first original series on Paramount Plus. It's For Heaven's Sake. Paramount Plus now in its second day of existence, available on both smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And our guests will be live from Toronto, Canada this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us to wrap up our week. Third of three episodes we are doing this week. And if you have a question or comment on remaining minutes with our duo, give them a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And don't forget, we have coming up in our next half hour, our classic trivia question of the week. If you haven't heard it, because we've had it on for most of the week, give it a try. Jump in and see if you can be the first to answer the question correctly. If you do, you get the Rescue Me Uncensored book. That, of course, is from the popular FX series of some time back, put together by Peter Toland and starring and created by Dennis Leary. So stay tuned for that. We'll have that near the top of the hour. And if you first correct the answer, you will win that book. Jackson, Daniel Feinberg, the TV critic and the Hollywood Reporter, reviewed your show. And one of the things he said was, and he appreciated, was that as time goes on, in addition to the humor, you get a sense of poignancy about the situation. Either of you sensed that as well as you were progressing forward with this investigation, that there was a sense of poignancy springing up?
Most definitely, yeah. Mike and I came in, you know, with our heads down, just really trying to solve this mystery. And that was the most important thing to us was, you know, let's find an answer. Let's solve this case and let's get closure for the family. But eventually, you know, we kind of popped our heads up and realized that we were having an effect on the town. We were having an effect on other people and other families. You know, it's not just all fun and games to, you know, try and play detective and solve a mystery. These are real people and real families with history. And, you know, we definitely get to that point throughout the series where Mike and I have some revelations. We take stock in ourselves and our actions. And it does add another layer to an already layered sort of show.
Mm-hmm. Mike, what we haven't talked about yet is how did all of this get the attention of Paramount Plus? How did you get them to greenlight this and then go on the air?
We partnered with Funny or Die to take it around in the States and kind of pitch a bunch of networks. And everybody that we pitched said this was too risky. And we love this idea, but no one would ever make this. Our pitch very much reflected the show. You see, it's a lot of like hooking them with the theories and then saying, but we don't know what could happen. Like, we don't know what we don't know. And I think that's what scared most people except Paramount Plus. I remember very clearly, Julie McNamara, she's like the head of Paramount Plus and the original content. And we had to basically repitch her and sell her on the show. And she said, there's something very warm about you getting to know your family's history and speaking with your family. And at the time, I took that as like, oh, that's great. Like, she's into the idea. But now looking back on the series, that's one of my biggest takeaways, was the warmth of having like a 3-hour interview with my papa, or like talking to these family members. And I'll cherish like this footage that we have of them for years and years.
And Jackson, when how did Funny or Die approve this? You know, Funny or Die, this is, you know, this is a fly-by-night organization. It's one of the funniest producers of video content around, wherever they produce it for. Did they give you any guidance as to how to approach these subjects? First of all, how did they get to approve this? And secondly, once you got the green light from them and Paramount Plus, did Funny or Die give you any support or guidance in terms of how to put this together?
Absolutely. Mike and I have been making sketch videos for years, and probably 5 or so years ago, we submitted them to Funny or Die, and they started posting them, and we developed a relationship with them through that. And once we started developing more long-form content, you know, we used our relationships at Funny or Die for advice and collaboration, and so we took them, for heaven's sake, in 2019, and the team there, you know, was so helpful and agreed to come on board, because they had already produced American Vandal, which was a huge hit, obviously, totally scripted version of a true crime comedy. And they felt like the creators, Tony Yacenda and Dan Peralt, would make perfect EPs for us. And so we pitched them. They agreed to come on board, and they offered us tremendous guidance throughout the whole process, mentoring not just Mike and myself, but the whole team, giving us direction. They flew up to Minden and were on set for a while. It was really the support throughout from Funny or Die couldn't have been better.
And the most ironic thing about that was Funny or Die always fought to make it more serious. Like, they were the ones that always said, well, we really got to focus on the mystery and the true crime engine of it. And comedy will always come second. So kudos to them, because Jack and I would like to have our fun, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, do you either of you mind being compared or related to American Vandal?
No, it's an honor. We're huge fans of that show, and then getting to work with the guys who created it, it just added to the lore for us. So we'll happily take that comparison.
I think you mentioned Feinberg's review, and he brings up a good point, where it's if you expect our show to be American Vandal, you might be surprised or kind of led awry. Is that what I'm trying to say? Yeah, led awry. So I think just going in with a fresh perspective and not expecting it to be American Vandal is important, but we understand with the banner from the EPs of American Vandal, some people could get confused.
Speaking of expectations, do either of you expect that as more people watch the show on Paramount Plus, that there could be a break in the case? That there could be something that breaks this cold case wide open?
I'll tell you, we're already getting more people reach out who we didn't know from before, who have seen the case. Minden locals, also Americans who have Canadian ties. You know, the outreach is already starting to happen. So it's definitely a possibility and something we're keeping our ears open for.
So do we, Mike, expect a second season or at least a follow-up special that sort of brings the viewers up to date on the situation, or are you, both of you, now working on a new project for somewhere?
Well, absolutely. Like me, absolutely. I think we took Minden by storm. If there's any new break in the case, we have to keep the viewers and the people that care about Harold's story updated. So we would be super open to doing like a follow-up episode or something that we can update people on if any new information comes to light, which is exciting to us.
And Jackson, do you see doing some new shows for Paramount Plus, whether humorous or not, or or taking your talent through Funny or Die or through other parties elsewhere? What do you see for the for down the road?
Yeah, we love to partner with Paramount Plus, whether it be on a second season or a new project, and happily work with Funny or Die again. You know, we've made great relationships throughout this whole process, and you know, we're nervous going into this thing. It's a really personal story, and to have a corporation, a company like Paramount Plus and Funny or Die, and Muse Entertainment, who is our Canadian producers, they all handled it with such grace that we'd love to work with them all again, and we can't say enough good things about them.
If you haven't heard about it, for heaven's sake, you now have, and you can check it out now on Paramount Plus, formerly CBS All Access, now in its second day of existence on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. For more details about the program and the service online, here's where you go, www.paramountplus.com. It's www.paramountplus.com. That's Paramount Plus, formerly CBS All Access, now in day two on a smart TV set or device near you. Mike Novin, Jackson Rowe, thank you both very much for joining us. Congratulations on your new series starting on Paramount Plus, and hopefully we'll see more of you there or elsewhere down in the future. It's been a pleasure to have you both on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Simon.
You're welcome, Mike and Jackson. Congratulations again. Have a sensational weekend.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you.
You as well.
Mike Milton and Jackson Rowe joining us live from Toronto, Canada this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Well, more of our program in a moment. First, some words to find folks at Amazon.com. Have you heard that Netflix now has Firefly Lane as one of its most watched programs around? Firefly Lane started about a month ago, and the book by Christian Hannon is getting more popular than ever. And if you haven't heard about Firefly Lane or its great author Christian Hannon, you now can through Audible.com, because you can pick up the audiobook of that terrific book now. You know, Audible.com is something really special. It is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from at any time, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Verbal, etc. And just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, a one-month trial of the service, health and wellness information, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Now listen to this. If you are already an Amazon Prime member, great news for you. You get two audiobooks for your trial of one, and one of those audiobooks can come from the growing, and I mean fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's original audio productions and podcasts, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theater, and also great one-woman and one-man performances. So how about making Audible.com a great opportunity right now to hear how they can transform the way you hear the world? By the way, it makes a great gift for anybody, you or somebody you love, any time of the year, including this weekend. So check it all out at audibletrial.com/televised. Well, at the moment, got two notes for you. First of all, we did promise early in the week that we were going to have the executive producer and creator of the new NBC series Debris, which got off the ground this past Monday night. His name is J.M. Wyman, and I should say J.H. Wyman. And unfortunately, he was supposed to be on our special Wednesday episode, which was an hour earlier than normal. And unfortunately, last-minute production problems. But good news, we are going to have him on later this month, and we're already working on getting that date all together. So for those of you that were expecting this week, the creator and showrunner of Debris on NBC, which is Monday night at 10 o'clock, J.H. Wyman, we will have him on a future episode later this month. And last month, we had a wonderful time with the daughter of the great film director and TV director, Sidney Lumet, Jay Lumet. She is the executive producer of Clarice now on Thursday night at 10 o'clock on CBS, doing very, very well. She's also working on the new Showtime miniseries called Blackbird about the life of Lena Horne. And also, she's an executive producer on Star Trek Discovery on Paramount Plus and working on the new Paramount Plus series, The Man Who Fell to Earth. Well, I'm happy to tell you that Jenny Lumet has now got a brand new four-year, multi-million-dollar program development deal with CBS Studios. So she'll be working on more projects for Paramount Plus, for Showtime, and other places in the Viacom-CBS programming family. So congratulations to Jenny. And if you want to catch that interview we did with her last month on Clarice and her other projects, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. We come back. Classic trivia question of the week. And first, five kids go on the journey of a lifetime that is out to change and transform the world around them. It's called Operation Awesome. It starts next Wednesday on BYU TV And executive producer Will Nothical will join us live here in the Big Apple after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. If you're the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio, speaker and Twitter radio, together reaching over 55 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, tomorrow at noon on VTR, it's Post Time with the Greek. Get your update on the world of sports on It's Post Time with the Greek. That's tomorrow, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised as we wrap up this first week of March 2021. Live from New York, Simon App, I'm with you in the Big Apple, 37 degrees, top of the hour. Once again, you haven't heard the news. Movie theaters in the Big Apple are now open again. And I understand it's been a big rush to get movie titles and the theaters all together. And I promise you that the owners are doing their best to make sure that you have a great movie experience. Yes, you have to wear masks as well as social distance. But I understand that the movie theater owners are going to really rock and roll. And it's great to have them back. Business in the Big Apple. We have another great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead. And we invite you to be in the program with your phone call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up before the top of the hour, our classic trivia question, stand by for it, you could win the Rescue Me Uncensored book. Over the years, it's been a great pleasure to document what's been happening at BYU-TV, that is the National Television Network from Brigham Young University. It's still the only college university that has a national television service available, cable, satellite, smart TV sets, smart TV devices. And we've been delighted to take a look at both the scripted and unscripted series they've been putting together. Well, they've got a new unscripted series, and maybe the most ambitious yet. It's called Operation Awesome. It premieres next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Joining us live here in New York, the executive producer of the series, Will Nothaker. Will, thank you very much for making the time and being here.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
It is a pleasure. Will, it sounds like this is a very, very special project for BYU-TV. How did it get off the ground?
Well, I had worked with BYU-TV before on another series, loved working with them, and they gave me a call and said that they wanted to do another show with the basic thesis that kids can change the world. And that was a sort of starting point for it, and then we worked together to develop it out, did a lot of casting, and found really amazing kids from all around the country.
So let's explain the premise. You have these five kids from different backgrounds, and they get to go on really, and I know it sounds cliche, the journey of their lives, but really is a journey that makes the difference every place they go. Explain how the program works.
Yeah, that's right. So the five kids who are the core cast, they also work with two mentors, an adult mentor and a kid mentor, and all these five kids had done amazing things, you know, themselves, from working with people experiencing homelessness to the elderly, to tackling plastics in the ocean. And they all came together, and then they go on this journey to help other kids and people to launch major, you know, initiatives to that will help change the world as well. So we've traveled across to, I think we traveled through about eight different states landed in six different states helping people. So they did things like helping this young man who has an organization, has his own garden that he raises money for causes, and they really supersized that, went to his school, built a huge community garden, is one example. And they did similar things, you know, with kids all over the country to do things that made a really lasting impact.
And Will, when the kids go into each city, are they all working on the same project together as a team, or is each individual child working on a various particular project or particular aspect of the bigger thing at hand?
They all work on particular aspects of sort of one larger plan. So, you know, they each have their specialty. One of the kids, Anna Du, she's a scientist. She does a lot of science work. So, for instance, in the garden episode, she worked on the greenhouse and built an entire irrigation system and, you know, and stuff like that, because that's really her specialty. So they all work together. They brainstorm at the beginning. They come up with the ideas themselves of what they want to do. And then they divide up the tasks between them kind of based on their strengths.
We're speaking with Will Nothaker. He is the executive producer of the new BYU series, Operation Awesome. And it is an awesome task, as we will learn shortly. And if you have a question or comment for Will, give us a call, 646-652-2906. He's based here along with yours truly, Simon Applebaum, here in Nueva York this half hour. Or you can use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And Operation Awesome premieres next Wednesday on BYU TV, available all over the country, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Remember, we have two more episodes coming your way next week. Coming up on Monday, we will have more interesting children's programming for you. This time, it's Books, the storytelling service available on smart TV sets and smart devices. Co-founder, Chief Communications Officer Shannon Bex will be joining us. And then next Friday, a week from today, we'll have the Managing Director of the very popular Home for Documentaries on smart TV sets and devices, Magellan TV, Greg Diefenbach. It's all next Monday and Friday at this very time. That's 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Will, I imagine there's like different resources that you have to pull together. You pull together the children, mm-hmm. you pull together the mentors, and you pull together the cities that they travel to. So let's take it one at a time. First of all, how did you bring the children together? How did you pick the kids involved?
We did a very large nationwide search for kids who were doing, incredible things. And, you know, when we began, I think I had a certain level of expectation for what we were going to find. But we were really blown away by how many kids there are out there in the country doing really incredible things, who have founded amazing nonprofits. So we just wanted to find the best. So we went nationwide, did a very big casting for that. And then, you know, we decided that we wanted to land at around five kids. And then we sort of picked the ones who we really responded to, and also sort of tried to look at them as a group, so that, you know, they would each be able to sort of have their own specialty that they owned. And that's how we landed on the group of five.
Talk about these five. Talk about each one individually and where they come from.
Sure. So a young woman who I mentioned before, Anna Du, she's from Massachusetts, and science is really her passion. So she had developed a robot that finds microplastics, for example, and she's kind of traveled all over giving talks and stuff like that. There's another young woman, Anna Miller, and she is very into computers and coding, in particular accessibility, tackling accessibility issues. She herself is in a wheelchair, and so she's got a real passion for making things accessible for everyone. There's also she's from Maryland. Liam is also from Massachusetts, like Anna, and has really devoted his life to helping people experiencing homelessness. And he makes lunches for people but it's very personalized messages on all the bags, and they go and they deliver it in person as well. And he's helped a huge amount of people in the Boston area. A young man, Michael, who's also from Maryland, who started a baking business that's one for one, where everything that, you know, he sells, he also makes a donation. And he was a lot of fun to have in the mix because of his culinary skills and being able to bring that to a lot of the the tasks that we did. And then the last one is Ruby, who's from Arkansas, and she's very, very passionate about helping the elderly. And she does a lot of work with nursing homes and the elderly and making their dreams and their wishes come true. And she's wonderful and just so good at relating to them and bringing out all the best in the elderly people. So that's our group.
And Will, these children are ages what to what?
They are from when we were filming, and some of them have birthdays since, but like 12 to 15. So is the age range.
It's a really formative year. It's really amazing. So now that you have the children,
yeah,
how did you find the mentors?
Well, so one of the mentors, this guy, Brent Kamelich, he had been on our radar for a long time because he has a really amazing organization called Dude Be Nice, where he goes around the country and really empowers kids to do amazing things and thank people in their communities. He's a great personality and a really great person. And he was a very natural choice for us because his whole thing is really having the kids, you know, do the work and drive things. And that was very important to us in this series as well, that, you know, this is driven by the kids. They're doing it for real. They're deciding what they want to do. They're making those decisions. And so we were looking for a mentor who would really be there to help facilitate it, not just step in and do it all, because this is about the kids. And then the younger mentor, Simone, she's in Florida, and she also, similar to Michael, has a culinary background, as well. She just has a really amazing presence, had a real great natural chemistry, with Brent.
So we have the children, we have the mm-hmm. mentors. What was it like to enroll the various cities or causes in those cities around the country to invite these kids to step into their world and attempt to make a difference with them, to forward their outreach to the community?
Yeah, so we, you know, with that, we wanted the kids to be able to work with cities and people where there were also kids involved. So that was part of our filter too when we were looking for that. And we were looking for organizations and people who have done some things but were looking to do something else, so that there was a real need for, you know, the kids to jump in and help. And it was also very important to us all along that everything that they do, you know, it's not a case where they're going in, they're fixing something, they're leaving, and nothing else happens. It was really about helping to kickstart something that would keep going for a long time. So we were also looking for things where, you know, that was the case and there would be a sort of support system around what they were doing that would keep these things going after, you know, our group went in there and kind of kicked it off. But in general, people were super receptive. I mean, it's a great show, and it's a very, very nice group of kids, and you know, when you're going into to want to do good, you get more yeses than with other things you may be asking of communities and nonfiction programming. So we were fortunate to have, by and large, a very good reception. And additionally, we were able to meet even more incredible kids by going to them to see amazing things that they've done in their communities.
Mm-hmm. As your production team brings these kids to each particular city, and I believe it's one city per episode,
yes,
what
right.
do we learn about both how the kids develop as leaders, as people who can use their skills and skills they pick up along the way in each city to advance the difference they want to make in the world. And also, how do the cities themselves or the people involved in these different causes, how do they react when they're on the ground and trying to work with them, connect with them to advance what they can do for everybody?
Yeah, I think, you know, the cities definitely reacted well. They were sometimes, though at the same time, we were asking things of them. You know, we, for instance, we were working in a park in Indiana, and so we had to work very closely with in Fort Wayne, work very closely with them to kind of get permission to not only film, but also we ended up doing some sort of installations in their public park. So the kids genuinely had to, you know, it was on the kids. They had to make the case that what they were doing was going to be good and good for the community. And they were the ones who were talking to the people there. Or, like, for instance, when they built the garden on the school grounds, they needed to convince the superintendent that, like, you know, this is a good thing, it's going to look nice, you know, and all that. So for a lot of it, we really had them, you know, interacting with the kids themselves. And we did also, you know, to your other question, see all the kids really go on a journey, push themselves out of their comfort zones to do other things. You know, they all began with their own specialties of things that they generally liked doing, but as they went, they wanted to try new things, and it was, you know, sweet to see them kind of all help each other get over insecurities or just try something new and different. And so that was a lot of fun, and they grew a lot, and they became more confident as they went.
Operation Awesome is the newest unscripted series from BYU TV, available all through the country in all sorts of ways, including cable and satellite. And this series premieres next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We've got a few more minutes with executive producer Will Nothaker. He joins me here in the Big Apple this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. So don't be shy. Make the phone ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, and stay tuned. We have our classic trivia question coming your way before the top of the hour, and if you are first with the correct answer, whether it's today or during the weekend, you will win the Rescue Me Uncensored book. So stick around after we wrap our interview, because that's coming your way, and you could be our second weekly winner in a row. Will, was there any surprising, let's say, revelation that came out about how the kids dealt when you go from city to city and you're learning and you're enrolling people in your abilities to impact their world, if you will?
Yeah, I think that it was surprising, and they did learn a lot. I mean, I think that they were genuinely at times really, really moved by things they saw. There was one really amazing episode that we filmed in Ohio. This gentleman has an organization that is very devoted to accessibility issues, and he does he sort of modifies things like go-karts and other things so that people who have disabilities can use them, and it's also very therapeutic. And there was a lot there that a lot of our cast sort of didn't realize went into some of these issues, and that they really learned a lot about that and were very inspired by him in particular, to just see how much work he put into it, and to see what the people who he worked with got out of it. And they were able to get, you know, really kind of up close and personal there. And I think that when they also were meeting the people who are being impacted and helped by, you know, these projects. I think that those were the kind of biggest, most surprising moments throughout the series.
After the cameras stop rolling and you're putting together the episodes with your production team for BYU TV, have the children stayed in touch with any of the organizations they worked with along the along their journey?
Oh, yes, for sure. They had. It was, you know, I think social media definitely makes it easier, but from the beginning, from the very first episode, when they met the amazing young woman who they helped there, who had developed this thing called Medi Teddies, which helps you kind of put the IV or something into a teddy bear for sick kids. And as soon as they met her and got talking to her, they were exchanging information and following each other and giving each other tips and all that. And they, you know, of course, also the five and the cast connected with each other very quickly. So they really took to everyone as soon as they got there, and, you know, have been in touch. So, and which is nice, because the other thing that we sort of hoped would happen, and I hope it does happen, is that there's a larger community formed of young people who want to do good, and are there to help each other and give each other tips and hopefully inspire other, you know, kids when they watch it to do those things.
Yeah. Well, given BYU's track record of series that are long running, both scripted and unscripted, are you already starting to think about a second season of Operation Awesome, either with the same children or with a new set of kids, new set of mentors, and new cities participating?
I mean, should we be so fortunate to have a second season, we would absolutely love to do that. And there is no shortage of, you know, places to go and, you know, organizations to help. We were able to, you know, go, you know, film in about six different states, but it's only six out of 50. So it would certainly be a lot of fun to tackle some other areas of the country on our big sort of goofy bus that we traveled on. And I think that the kids would love to do it again. We would love to do it again. It was all around a really great production experience. So yeah, if they're up for it at BYU, we're certainly up for it on our end. We had a blast.
And in the meantime, are you working on any future TV projects? And if so, when will we be seeing them?
Sure. We are working on a fair amount of things that aren't quite yet announced. And we have a show that just recently started airing on History with Tim Allen called Assembly Required. So that we're really excited about. And we have lots more episodes there coming. And also show that is on Magnolia, which I think there's a sneak peek of it on Discovery Plus. But that should be rolling out soon. So yeah, there's a lot going on.
And by the way, A&E at their upfront event earlier this week gave people watching the opportunity to see Tim Allen, Richard Karn from Assembly Required. In fact, I had a chance to ask them a question about the making of the show, because the show was done using a lot of Zoom interviews with people homebound. And as Tim Allen said,
that's
it was
right.
Like life imitating art. And I'm so thrilled that the show is off to a great start. And I have a hunch History will bring it back for a second season. So I just want you to know that it was a great time. I was very delighted to speak with both Tim and Richard at that event. And by the way, we have more about that event in MediaVillage.com. Check it out, MediaVillage.com, my special report about that A&E up front and my interview with Tim Allen and Richard Karn. Mini interview. I think you'll really enjoy it. Again, BYU TV has done a lot of great shows over the years. This one may be one of their more extra special ones. Operation Awesome. Wednesday night is the premiere, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific and 5 p.m. Pacific on BYU TV. Check it locally for where the network is available, where you are. For more details about the program and the service online, www.byutv.org. www.byutv.org. Operation Awesome, next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Will Nuffaker, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations on getting this show off the ground. Hopefully this is the beginning of a wonderful run, and I hope that BYU TV gives it every amount of outreach it can so it can make the widest possible difference with the widest possible people.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Damien, well, one more thing. Congratulations to all the children, the mentors, and the communities involved. Let's hope this is the beginning of a wonderful movement where kids get the full opportunity to showcase their potential for making a difference in the nation and the world.
Absolutely.
You got it. Well, thanks so much again. Congratulations, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Will Nuffaker from Operation Awesome joining us live here in New York. Now it's time for our classic trivia question. We offered it at the beginning of the week. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win one terrific book, Rescue Me on Center, the official companion to the popular FX series, with Dennis Leary and Peter Tolan contributing. Here's the question. Death Valley Days was one of the longest-running shows on television. It was second among long-running westerns to Gunsmoke, and it's one of the longest-running series in the history of syndicated television, maybe the longest-running scripted series. Started from 1951, ended around 1970. And here's the question. Who sponsored Death Valley Days? All along, the program was sponsored and bankrolled by one sponsor, went by two names over the course of the run. We'll take either name as the answer. Who sponsored Death Valley Days? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you email, enclose your name and your address. So if you win, we get the prize out to you ASAP. If you missed the question just a moment ago, we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so. Let's see if we get our second weekly winner in a row. Not too late to do it. And all the very best. Thank you to all of our guests today and all week long. This is the third of three programs that we did this week. We'll do another three episode week later in March. Don't forget, Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, among our guests, we'll have the co-founder and chief communications officer of the popular storytelling series on smart TV sets and devices, Books, Shannon Bex. And next Friday, among our guests, from Magellan TV, managing director Greg Diefenbach. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcasts. They're available all over the place at iTunes, Apple TV, iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Verbal, etc. And don't forget, you can always follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and on LinkedIn. We love hearing from you, so email me or find me in social media, and I do respond within 24 hours. Why? Because, as always, what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants. And I'll say those of Block Talk Radio and other streamers of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Andy Toth, Block Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. And the co-founders of this enterprise, Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For 1 or 2 free audiobooks and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Those of you in the New York City area, support the movie theaters. They're coming back in business today. They really would appreciate your business and your support. Back on Monday, you know when, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, and you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, plus Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.